This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, with Macca and my co-host Nevena. It's our great pleasure and honour to have our new Commissioner for LGBTQIA+ Communities in the studio, Jo Ball. Good morning, Jo.
Good morning, and good morning to both of you, and it's always a pleasure to be on Joy.
And thank you for coming in on a Saturday. I know you've got a lot of stuff planned for today. First week as Commissioner, first off, have you got email access? Have you got a phone? have you got a pass? Have you got all that stuff?
I do now, but there was some computer says no at the beginning of the week.
Oh, no.
But I think that everyone, that's a relatable.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
That is the case for, you know, we expect that you're not going to have email access the first day. I did have email access the first day, but I didn't have a pass for a couple of days. Okay. So I was a visitor for a few days.
There you go. I wondered if we can start off. Just first, Jo, a lot of our listeners know who you are and know your history, but give us a brief little synopsis of who you are.
Yeah, I mean, I want to say first that it is an immense honour and privilege and a responsibility to take on, you know, to be the third LGBTIQA+ Victorian Commissioner. It's also the only Commissioner, that is an LGBTIQA+ Commissioner in the country. Mm. And it's never lost on me that growing up, I could have never imagined that a role like this would exist. Mm. I grew up in Queensland, and until I was 11 years of age, it was, you know, criminal to be homosexual in that state. So I could never have dreamed that a role like this would exist, let alone that a person like me would fill that. And when I say a person like me, I mean a transgender man. Mm. And it's just, I think that, you know, transgender people deserve to be in every part of our society.
Yes,
and that includes absolutely. In senior leadership roles. And so I am a role model and a trailblazer for transgender people into senior public service roles. And, you know, I think it's also worth recognising that when I say I grew up in Queensland, it also wasn't decriminalised across this country until 1997, with Tasmania being the last state. And it wasn't until 2017 that we had same-sex couples being allowed to marry. So this is all in our lifetime. It's all definitely in my lifetime. And so I understand how important that making legislative change, reform and policy and culture change is, because it's changed the complete course of my own life. So I feel impassioned by what the advocates before me have done. Into improve my own life and to play my role on building and standing on their shoulders to change the future for all LGBTIQA+ people.
It's not just having these roles that is so important, it's having incredible advocates step into them and set that role modelling for our community. You are the third commissioner, but for people who aren't as familiar with the role of the commissioner, can you talk us through some of your responsibilities?
Sure. It's important to understand there are many commissioners. I think that there's not just an LGBTIQA+ commissioner. There's a gender equality in the public service commissioner. There's a human rights commissioner. There's a number of multicultural commissioners. There's a children and young people's commissioner. There's an Aboriginal and young people's commissioner. So there's a number, and there's more than that. So I sit within that sort of, I guess, team of different commissioners. But the role of a commissioner is to be an advocate for the community, to government and within across government. So you're inside and you're outside, but I think I take the role very seriously of being an advocate. Yeah. And what does it mean to be an advocate within and to government? I think first and foremost, it is to be listening to our community, consulting with our community constantly and championing what they want.
And that, you know, what you're touching on there, Jo, is transparency and accountability. Mm. And certainly in your previous role at Switchboard, you know, your level of engagement was incredible.
Mm.
And
thank you.
Talking about what you were doing as the CEO, what you were doing as an organisation and why it was important and what the priorities were. And, you know, that will follow into this role as commissioner. Can I ask you briefly, you know, for clearly there are priorities for the role, both professionally and personally. Can you give us a bit of a flavour of those, you know, as you see them?
Yeah, and you gave me a great introduction there, and I thank you for your recommendation for me for the role in what you just said. Look, I have a background in housing and homelessness. I've worked in family violence prevention, suicide prevention, mental health and well-being, and I've worked in disability work. I've had a career of doing service delivery. Mm. Then interspersed with that, I've worked in the Australian Public Service at the Australian Charities and Not-for-Profits Commission, which is the national regulator of charities. And I worked at the Australian Bureau of Statistics, which is the home of the census. And I've worked on two different censuses. So, censi, as they call it.
Censi.
Yeah. look, I bring all that expertise to this role, but I bring passion for those different areas because our community is overrepresented. With poor mental health, we are overrepresented in homelessness. We do have the same or higher rates of family violence in our communities, and we have some of the highest rates of suicide in our communities. So that's my background, and therefore I'm going to bring that understanding that I have and that solutions-based, a career of working to prevent and to further people's health and well-being to this role. So they are my priorities. Within that, there's also a process of there's a plan. The Victorian government has a plan that I inherit and I carry, which is the blueprint, and that's the 10-year strategy, which was created through consultation with the community and by the community. So I'm bringing my expertise. I'm working to the plan. I'm responding to emerging needs. That's my role. Just small things.
So this is an enormous role. When did you knew it was time to put your hat in the ring?
Yeah, I think it's been a long journey. I think that for me, the process of considering it, what was really important to me was that along every step of the way, one that I'm pleased to say was an extremely robust and independent process, and I applied in the usual way you do for a job, yep. which is you put in a job application, and I did four separate interviews yep. for the job, just so people know. And I, at each stage, it was really important to me that if I became the commissioner, that I was chosen for who I am. And for what I have done previously. I'm lucky that I have lots of things on record of what I say, which includes being critical of government, being critical of policies, of parties. Like, these things are there, and I don't shy away from them. That's part of being an advocate.
Absolutely.
And so I think that I'm pleased to say that they chose me for all that I am. Of course, you need to sort of, you know, I'm going to become a public servant, but I've also been a public servant before. So it is different to be an advocate to and within government as it is to be one completely outside. But I still think that, you know, I've gotten this role because they know that I will be that cheerleader for our community, that advocate.
You talked briefly, Joe, you know, about your history. And as I said, a lot of the community will be familiar with, you know, the role at Switchboard over a very long time. The biggest challenge, I think, you know, is being an advocate for the community and having to work within, you know, I won't say the restraints or confines of government, but the role gives you the ability to have direct access with the minister, to engage with the community, to look at policy, and to look at it, as you have in the past, devoid of politics.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually about policy.
Mm-hmm.
So the challenge is, how do you sort through that, you know, when everyone is, you know, saying, I want a piece of Joe, you know, I want to speak to Joe about this. How do you then filter that, you know, using your experience at Switchboard in choosing the issues that you need to champion at the time? How do you filter that?
I think that as banal as a strategy sounds, it is a filter as well, and it's a, you know, a consensus that's been reached through consultation with community. So that is one filter. I think, though, you speak to one of the biggest challenges that I will have in my role, which is to, I guess, bring people along on the journey because, and I started off by talking about some of the reforms that have changed my own life and changed many of our listeners' lives, like decriminalisation, like same-sex marriage, like, access to donor-conceived, children rights. You know, these things have really changed the whole outcome of my life. And I think that what are the challenge behind that is that these things don't happen overnight.
Yeah.
You know, and that everybody needs to play their role. It's as much about marching in the streets as it is about, sitting at the table and about reaching consensus and making compromise and having the discussions and furthering it. And the challenge is trying to bring as many people along on that journey because it takes many years to bring these changes into being, and I want to try and show people, it's one thing for people to have a flash of anger, for example, but if you just take the census for one thing, I've been campaigning myself on that issue for at least 10 years, and here we are going to have 2/3 of what we asked for in the census, but that didn't happen because of what happened in the last couple of weeks. That is many decades of campaigning, even before my own time of campaigning. So I think that is a challenge of bringing community along for the long haul journey and trying to tell people that we can win, but it does take time.
We look forward to many more conversations with you in the future, Joe. But just finally, what team are you supporting today at the AFL Grand Final?
Yeah, because of course we're not on TV, no, so you can't see that not I'm yet. Wearing a Sydney Swans scarf, which is a rainbow Sydney Swans scarf from the Pride Round, because of course Sydney Swans and St Kilda did the first ever Pride Round in 2016. Right. And I've got my rainbow Sydney Swans scarf on, and that means that I am a blood supporter. That sounds brutal, doesn't it? But I'm a Sydney Swans, South Melbourne supporter, and I'll be cheering them on today.
Just to close, I want to say thank you, Joe, for all the work you've done, the work that you're going to be doing. As a member of our community, I'm so proud that you've got the role. I know how hard you're going to work, and I know how diligent you're going to be at the advocacy. Everyone in our community can feel really proud of who you are, proud that, you know, the minister chose you. Go hard, go fair, and I know you're going to do us proud. Thank you so much.
Thank you. What a ringing endorsement, and you're absolutely right. I am going to go hard.
Cheers.
Thank you, Joe.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9 with Macca and Nevena. Stay with us.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.